Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The Burt Show.
So Jen here has been struggling with smoking like a bunch of you guys. I'm watching my wife go through the same struggle every single day that Jen is. And she decided to try something a little bit different here.
Yeah, I went to go see a hypnotist yesterday. And we've had him on the show before. His name's Sean Wheeler. His company's called Pure Hypnosis. And I just knew I needed something to sort of jumpstart the process. Smoking was something that's disgusting. It's a terrible habit. It's unhealthy. It's all of those things that I hate about it, but the addiction to it is the part that makes you love it. So it's this love-hate relationship with it, but I just don't want it in my life anymore. It's just this, it's the one part of my life that I feel like is really, really negative, and I don't think I'm a negative person. I think I'm a really optimistic person. I'm healthy. I eat healthy. I work out. It's the one part of my life that doesn't really fit with who I am or the image of who I think I am, and so I really wanted to get rid of it and went yesterday and was able to sit down with Sean, and sort of the way that it goes is that you sit down and you talk for a while. It's kind of like an interview process, you know, and you talk about the habit and you talk about what, you know, the thing, activities in your life you attach it to. And it's kind of like this exploratory reason of like why you want to quit. And I would say if somebody wants to try it, you really have to want to do it.
And did you go haven't you always wanted to quit when you've quit before? Like, why is now different? And how do you know, how do you recognize a difference?
When it comes from inside of you. Sometimes people want to quit for other people. You know, a guy's got a new wife who hates it. Or like if Stacey wanted to quit because you hate it so much, but she didn't really want to, like in her heart, like inside of herself, then it would never work. If you're just doing it because you think you should, or for whatever reason, your heart and soul isn't into it, like I am really ready this time, then I don't think it's going to work because it still takes a lot to get through the first initial couple of weeks of cravings and withdrawals and all that kind of stuff. But I think hypnosis is what sort of helps you change your mind about it. And that's what I really learned yesterday. I was fascinated. I had no idea what I was going in for, but it really changed my mind about things. So we sat there and he interviewed me about all the reasons why I smoke or why I hate it or all of these different things. And then
how long did that interview process take?
That was probably the first maybe 45 minutes or so. We talked about that. We talked about the reasons why I didn't want to anymore. We talked about all of the habitual things that you attach it to, whether it's driving in the car or coffee or after a meal or out with drinks with friends or...
Are you just sitting at a table or are you lying down?
Is this like a clinical setting or is it more of a...
No. It's like a cozy living room setting. It's not like you're in a spa or something.
That's okay. What I feel like I'm at right now.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were doing that or if I was having a stroke.
I was beatboxing.
So it's not like a spa, but it's also not like an office either. So it's kind of like okay. It's like kind of halfway in between. And I was sitting in the recliner that I was going to eventually lay back in and put my feet up in.
Yeah.
But I was sitting up and we were just sitting and talking just like we are right now.
Okay.
And so he uses some of those things that he learns about you, like in that interview process, as a way to help you change your mind. And then we went in and did some visualization practices. And I'm not really sure how I can even explain those, except that you visualize yourself without the habit and how you want to look and how you want to feel and those things afterwards. And he helps you do some picture in your mind things, which were really cool. And I had never done those before. And then it goes into the whole hypnosis thing. And so just so you know, I was conscious the whole time.
What's the picture in the mind thing?
It's visualizing really your best self without smoking. And being able to change the picture in your mind from what it is now to what it is then.
So is it you sitting at like a bar while your other friends are smoking and you vision yourself not smoking?
It was visualizing the picture in your mind of you lighting up a cigarette, what it looks like when you look down and there's one in your fingers and you have the lighter, you know, and it's looking at that. And then he does this really cool exercise, and he could explain it a lot better than I can what it was. But you switch that with the picture in your mind that is what you want it to be.
Which is you.
Not with one.
Which is you without one, looking healthier. Okay. You build it. He helps you build that whatever that picture is in your mind.
So you're That's in shape. Cool. You look better than you ever have.
Taller, you feel good. It's like imagine somebody took a picture of you at your very best self. It's a picture that the best photographer you've ever met in your whole life took of you, and you would want to show that to everybody you know.
Okay. Was I in that picture?
Actually, no.
Imagine that, yeah.
I don't get it.
Not at all.
That guy's a hack.
So a couple different things like that, and then we went into the hypnosis session, and I will say I was conscious the whole time. I knew what was going on the whole time, but I slipped into a very, very deep relaxation state to the point where I felt like my body was like a sack of potatoes, like really, really heavy, almost numb, like where I couldn't feel it anymore. And it's almost like my body didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Did it freak you out?
No.
Because I would think that feeling would freak me out.
That's the thing about hypnosis is you know what's going on and you're not afraid of it.
Not at all.
Really?
You're so relaxed by that point. I don't think you could freak out.
Yeah, and you're doing a lot of breathing and it's just sending you into major relaxation mode and really, really internal. So,
like when you wake up from it, at least when I woke up from it, it felt like I had slept for 24 hours. It felt fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't need a nap yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a really deep form of meditation. And you guys know I do a lot of like yoga and meditation, that kind of stuff. So I was really open to going there. So I think I went there pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And here's a little clip. This is Sean Wheeler from Pure Hypnosis. And the beginning part where
warn people like who are listening? Is it going to affect
them
at all?
Don't close your eyes if you're driving.
I don't think it can happen in 15 seconds.
I don't think it can happen that fast. I mean, my entire session was 2 hours.
Right.
So these are just little parts of it. But you're right. It is. His voice is very relaxing. Mm-hmm. You'll get sort of like a peek into what I went through. But imagine like... In this, how long is this next clip?
This is 15 seconds long.
Oh, no.
Like,
see?
Think of this for like an hour, okay?
And you can be aware of any feelings you have in your left hand. And you don't have to move a muscle, just notice how your left hand feels.
I'm done.
And then you can just as easily be aware of your right hand. Notice how it feels.
So these are some of the things that takes you into that relaxation state. Here's another example of that.
All right, this one's a little longer, so be careful, people.
Yeah.
This is 36
shake it off.
Seconds.
Everybody, shake it off. Shake your arms.
Wake up.
You're doing very well, responding beautifully to all these suggestions. You'll notice that you're very deeply relaxed and you haven't needed a drug or a drink or a cigarette or anything else to do that. Simply by focusing your attention in this certain way, you allow your body to be so deeply relaxed, you can feel like a rag doll, like a puppet with the strings detached, as though you're stuck, glued to the surface that you're resting on. You know that you could move if you wanted to, it just feels better not to.
True.
So you continue to breathe slowly, your heart beating even more slowly than it was before.
I remember my dude saying that over and over and over again. Like, you can move if you want to, but you just don't want to.
It just
and they
feels
repeat that over and
don't.
Over and over again. Yeah,
it really does. And then you kind of your conscious, because you're kind of slipping between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's sort of what helps you make the switch and change your behaviors. And by the way, he does this for a lot of things. He was telling me about a woman he helped with curing the fear of flying through hypnosis. He did another woman who used to drink 8 to 12 Mountain Dews a day.
Oh,
and
Lord.
She drank that many for 9 years.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And she left hypnosis and never had another Mountain Dew again. I mean, crazy. Like, people have all kinds of stuff. Somebody for nail biting. Like, you know, lots of people for smoking. Like, all kinds of different things because it's... You know, any sort of habit like that is a big mind, and I want to use a bad word, mind cluster.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's all in your head. The physical habit of it is gone very quickly.
We got a couple of calls
it's in your head.
When he was in studio for women that have never enjoyed being intimate as much as some other women have.
Yes.
And they wanted to know if he could help them in that area. And we got a couple of emails about it, and he absolutely is going to take them on.
Yeah, awesome. And he can do weight loss. I mean, you name it, all kinds of things, because it's all in our heads. Anyway, and I really buy into all that stuff and really realize, you know, think that it really is in your mind a lot, too. So, okay.
Did you ever feel out of control during the whole process?
Never. I knew I could open my eyes and sit up and move, and I was listening, and you sort of fade into like dreamy land, like, you know how your thoughts will just kind of like spin out of control if you're like laying still enough, like when you're getting a massage, and then you become conscious of your thoughts again and you think, God, how did I get there?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you're so far away from where your mind first started wandering. I did that a couple of times, but at the same time, I was always listening to what he was saying. So he puts you in the relaxation state, and then it's the suggestions about stopping the habit and starting a new life.
Realizing how absurd it would be to give a cigarette to a small child, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and to realize that you were once a child, and in all reality, you're still the same person, still looking out through the same eyes. Your body's bigger, but you're still just as worthy and deserving of health and life as your own child one day will be.
Yeah, wow. And we talked about children and how I would like to have children and be healthy and be a really like great mom and a great role model for my kids. And smoking doesn't factor into that equation at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just zero part of that. So we talked about that, and I think that that's where that came from. So the interview process comes up in your hypnosis. So if it's a completely different motivation for you, that will come up in your hypnosis. Okay. I think, were those both the suggestions?
No, we haven't done the second
one
suggestion
more.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's right. Just let it all go. And you find yourself feeling lighter.
I want to.
Freer. Like the chains are off. Released. From that old bondage, from this old habit. Now free to move forward, comfortably, relaxed, peaceful, healthy.
And he's lying next to you.
And you will
at
not
this
replace
point.
This habit with anything else. You're not going to replace it by eating more or doing anything else that's destructive. In fact, you're going to continue to eat healthy, nutritious foods in just the right amounts. In fact, because you're breathing easier and you have more energy, you're going to exercise more. You'll have more endurance, more stamina, and more of a desire to move your body.
So those are some of the, I mean, and like I said, this was like an hour long process of the hypnosis part of it. And then at the end of it, like very easily, he talks you right out of the hypnosis. And I really did feel lighter and I felt better. And I felt like because of that intense, like sort of, you know, breathing and, you know, and that deep relaxation, I felt so well rested. Like you said, Bert, when you had that experience, like I felt like I had just slept for like 12 hours and had like the best night's sleep ever.
I need to get hypnotized every day to feel like
that. I know.
I was
going to
say,
I need him here at
10
a.m. every morning.
Nap time.
All right, so this is the end of your session. This is when he's bringing you down out of it now?
Yes.
So you take a deep breath or two or three, and with each breath, you awaken more fully. And in fact, by the time you've exhaled the third deep breath, I want you to imagine that you splash a little bit of cool, clear spring water on your eyes and in your face. And at just the right moment, you'll allow those eyelids to open. And when they do, wide awake, refreshed and relaxed, and feeling good. Welcome back. And if you'd like to do so, you can stretch.
And I did.
And did you, when you said like, welcome back, did you, like, were you back? Like, did you feel like you...
No, I mean, it's a slow process. It's not like you, like, boom, snap out of it or something like that. It's like, you know, you're always conscious of what's going on, but you sort of slip back and forth from that.
Did he do one of those things, like if one of us uses the word domino, then you get on the ground and cluck like a chicken?
We made jokes about that, but that's not it. I mean, that's not what he does.
Domino!
Didn't work.
I'm sorry.
So afterwards, when you thought about lighting up, like, I don't know, last night after you ate dinner, when you would normally have one? Did you change your routine at all?
She chain smoked on the way home. Woo, that was stressful.
Actually, that's one thing you have to do is they ask you before the appointment, you get rid of all of your cigarettes, you get rid of your lighters, your ashtrays. You have to get rid of all of the materials and everything. So I actually had a cigarette before I walked into his office.
This is the one last one.
Standing outside, and I handed him my pack and my lighter and said, I have to give these to you because I, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't trust myself with them. It was like, you know, like...
Goodbye, old friend.
A heroin addict being like, here, take it. And so gave it to him. And then I really felt great afterwards. I didn't have cravings until like hours and hours later, which typically it would have been right away. Mm-hmm. And then when I did, I just kind of took a deep breath. Like had... I made sure I drank a lot of water last night, like sips of water. And I just... I haven't had one since.
So would you normally like have a cigarette in the car on the way here in the morning?
Yes.
And today, did you have the urge for that?
Nope.
Really?
Awesome. Good.
That's
okay.
Great. And last night, I have to be honest, I definitely thought about it, but they say a craving lasts for 10 seconds. So you just breathe just deep for 10 seconds, have a sip of water, and then you'll start thinking about something else. You don't even have to try to start thinking about something else. You just will.
I think it's routine also. I mean, you're breaking a routine, and that's normally what you would do, so it seems weird that your routine just isn't the same.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
Domino.
Yeah, good for smoke you. Anymore.
Domino.
Awesome.
You really, congratulations. You confidently can say that you're
I
not smoking anymore.
I can confidently say I'm not going to smoke anymore.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Domino.
Good.
Domino.
Quack, quack.
So now, this guy, I think Sean has said before that you can go back as many times as you want, right?
I do have a follow-up appointment in 2 weeks, and so we follow up, see how it's been going, and we may do another shorter hypnosis session, which the whole time I was there yesterday was about 2 hours, and then the follow-up would just be about an hour.
All right. So if you want his information, I mean, if it may work as well for you as it has Jen, at least in the first 12 hours.
Yeah, in the first 12 hours, it's been good. And I will be honest about how it feels in the next couple of weeks. I know a lot of people who smoke are really ready to kick it, but I understand how hard it is too. So I'll let you know that I don't think it's going to be easy for the first 2 weeks. I don't think it's like the switch a button or flip a switch and it's the end-all, cure-all, like taking a pill or something. You've got to want to do it. But it definitely changed my mind about wanting to do it.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, let me introduce you all to Jill, who wants to be on The Voice Disguiser, and she's falling in love with a married dude and doesn't really know what to do with it. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Hey, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Okay, thanks.
So how long have you known this guy now?
A little over a year, probably, I'd say.
Okay.
How do you know each other?
Well, I work, I'm not going to say where I work, but I work in a bar, restaurant kind of place, and he comes in regularly, mostly 3 times a week. Sometimes with his wife, but most of the time with his other guy friends, and everyone who works there is really friendly and my age, and we all hang out even when we're not working. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, what we do, we're like a family there, and those guys are like regulars, you know, and we spend a lot of time talking to them, hanging out with them, and, you know, it's just a sort of a friendly thing, and I've never seen any of them outside of the restaurant, but, you know, 3 nights a week is a lot to see anybody. So,
are you a
server? I've gotten to know them that way.
Are you a server or a bartender?
I'm usually a bartender, but I've done both. I've done everything.
And have you ever
worked there a long time. It's, you know, I've worked my way up and I'm friends with everybody and nobody gets hired without my permission. You know, it's, like I said, my family, so.
Well, falling in love are, like, pretty strong words. Have you had one-on-one with him, or you just have fallen in love sort of watching him from afar?
We've had our one-on-one conversations, yeah, quite a bit. Like I said, I'll go when I'm not working, so I've just sat with him at the bar, and, you know, we've had drinks, his friends have left, and we've talked about all kinds of stuff. And this is why I'm getting worried, is because most recently, we were talking one night, and I just, like, almost leaned in and kissed him. And it was just overwhelming to me, like, how strong a feeling it was. And it just felt absolutely like the right thing to do in any other situation. And I had to really, really check myself. And I'm starting to feel really worried about the way that I am going to start acting around him. And, like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose control. And I don't want to be the girl who is chasing after a married man. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm about in life. But I also, I'm not going to quit my job because I love it and I need it and I need to pay for school, and there's just no way I can't not work there. So I feel like I need to tell him so that I can ask him to stop coming in, because that's that's the only thing I can see as a solution at this point.
Why are you making your problem his? Like, why does he have to not go to your bar? Because,
well, it sounds like he's into her too.
Why do you get that? Where do you get that from?
Come on.
What? She said zero. He comes into the restaurant sometimes with his family.
Is he into you too?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think that he's ever showed signs that he's into me beyond
except
a
coming to
way.
See you three times a week.
Well,
there's
it's not,
nothing
but he's,
wrong
well,
with that.
He's not there by himself, and he's not there visiting just her. Why are you putting it on him?
I'm just saying it sounds like there's a mutual attraction there. If they're having one-on-one conversations, and they're close enough, and there's an intimate moment enough where she felt like it was the right moment to kiss each other, like, that's chemistry coming from both people. I'm not saying he's done anything wrong yet, but I'm just saying, like...
So because she feels the need to kiss him, it's his fault?
No, I'm just saying, if they're having one-on-one conversations and they've gotten to a point of an intimate moment close enough that she
feels
there
was an intimate moment.
She felt like she,
I see where Jen's coming from. If they've been alone talking and she felt comfortable enough to lean in and kiss him, I don't think that he's being stone cold over to the side, non-flirtatious. It's not a blame on him. It's just the fact that they are creating this very dangerous situation. Can you be in that bar, in a different part of the bar when he's in? I mean, like, because you're talking about how you're having one-on-one conversations with him. Well, don't have one-on-one conversations with him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody hanging out. So it's not like, I mean, the guys act the same way toward us when their wives are there. You know, it's not inappropriate.
But I'm going back.
They still, act flirty and they still talk to us and, you know, their wives are friendly and it's, but...
But I'm going on what you told us about.
This is my friends too, so this is where I go to hang out.
My comment is that you talked about having one-on-one conversations with him, going back on what Jen referenced about you feeling the need to lean in and kiss him, which probably did not happen in the group setting. So I'm saying, can you stop those one-on-one conversations and sometimes be busy working or not go in when you're not working when he's there? Like,
I can try that, but I just feel like...
Well, you're going to have to.
Yeah, this is your problem.
You're going to have to, because I absolutely don't think you should say anything to him, because this is you. And, you know, anytime affairs happen, like, this shows the process that it takes to have an affair. Mm-hmm. Affairs don't happen just all of a sudden. People make decisions to have affairs. That's why they hurt so badly. And I think that you have now, you're realize that you're tempted by him, and it has been over the course of a year hanging out with him and having one-on-one time with him and going in when you're not working to hang out with them. So you have to make the decisions to change that process, and then you won't do it.
I don't go in just to hang out with him. I hang out with everybody who works.
You're not listening.
Those are my closest friends. You know, if I stopped going in, that would be a huge social... I wouldn't see the people who I'm close to.
Look, you're in control. You're in control of this situation. I mean, you're not a victim here. You could go or not go.
I understand what she's saying, though, because what she's saying is not going to her takes out a significant chunk of her existence. Like, number one, she's still going to have to go to work. And number two, if she goes there after work or on days off because all of her friends work there and hang out there.
Put your big girl panties on and work there and be there while he's there and don't say anything to him about it. You're not allowed to.
Let me ask you something. When you sort of imagine this conversation going on, you know, you sort of practice in your mind what you would say, how you would say it. In your mind, what does he say back to you? What do you think he would say back to you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's why I called.
What do you want him to say back to you?
I think that he would be grateful to know, and maybe would be a little bit annoyed, but could easily find another place to hang out with his friends.
So part of you is scared to say something to him because you'll think you'll lose him forever.
I mean, sure, but...
You're not wanting to actively stop this.
I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be that girl.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do. Hold on a second, all right? Because a whole bunch of people want to talk to you about this, believe you me. All right, so
I want to know what you guys would say.
Did you just say, believe you me?
I did. I just turned into my grandpa.
I want to know how you guys would feel if you were the guys in that situation, because you guys are both married.
Yep.
If it were somebody at the radio station who came up to you and said, yeah, or was having these feelings, you know, because, I mean, it's obvious some of our interns are really all
sure.
about
it. Sure, I can see it.
Why don't you just...
I can see, by the way, they all ignore me, how much they dig me.
Instead of being, like, all hypothetical about it, why don't you just say, hey, Bert and Jeff, can you answer this question the way you answer it when it comes up?
Oh, when it often comes up.
Right.
My stock answer is this. I always want to know when there's somebody attracted to me. I can deal...
If you guys were the person in this situation, I want to know your answers.
Okay, we'll answer it coming back, and we'll get your comments as well. She'll hang on. Jill here works at a bar, and there's a regular that comes in there that she's having really strong feelings for. She says she loves this guy, and she's thinking about telling him. But she doesn't want to scare him away, but she also doesn't want to lose her social group, too, that's in the very same bar. So
and
what
he's
does
married.
She do? And he's a married guy.
He's married.
Yeah. So your comments for her, we'll put you on with her next.
Listen. It's the Bert Show.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bert Show.
All right, so we have Jill here who works in a bar. And she's got a customer that comes in 3 times a week, sometimes with his wife, other times with his dudes. So he's a regular. And Jill here now has big-time feelings for this guy. She loves him now.
Yeah, she says she thinks she's in love with him, and she's got feelings for him, and she almost leaned in and kissed him the other night, and she just doesn't know what to do with all these feelings or what to say to him.
She doesn't want to quit her job. A, it's her kind of... That's her social place also. All of her friends hang out there, so she doesn't want to quit that. She doesn't want to lose the money. She's also a little bit nervous to tell him that she's having all these feelings for fear he's just going to take off. So what does she do at this point? Am I missing anything there?
No, but I just think it's so funny that, you know, she's afraid to tell him because she's afraid to run him off, even though that's really the reason why she should be telling him. So, I don't trust her.
She I want to know what you guys would do. Mm-hmm.
She said she did have a brief moment with him a couple of weeks ago where they were one-on-one, and, you know, these emotions overcame her, and she almost leaned in for a kiss, but she didn't, but the situation was still there. She said that she didn't really get the sense that he was all that into it. Didn't she say that?
She didn't get the sense that he wasn't all that into it. I think she got the sense that he wasn't into it at all.
Like, what? I think you just made that up.
Jill, no, I mean, did you tell us that he wasn't into the kiss?
No, I don't think that he has feelings for me. And also, I'm telling him because I want to ask him not to come to the restaurant.
Right. She wants to say, look, don't come to my restaurant because I love you. So, Jeff, Jen wants to know, what would you do in this situation? Do you want to know if she's digging on him?
Honestly, yeah. Like, it would definitely change my habits. Like, I would certainly still go to that restaurant, but I would never go alone. And I would be very aware of interactions with that person.
Would you tell Jessica?
I think so. I would tell Jessica, like, hey, you know, just so you know, I'm not, like, if there was a place that I always hung out and then all of a sudden I'm not hanging out, or if she said, you know, hey, why don't you just go sit at the bar and wait for, you know, so-and-so to arrive early, whatever it is, you know, go early or something, or I'll drop you off. You know, like if I'm going out to meet somebody, Jessica might drop me off.
I think you also need to let Jessica know that there are other women that are so hot that are into you that if she gets a little out of line, you have options.
Yeah, we have that list.
Yeah, that's
on the refrigerator.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that works real well.
I would not want to know. I couldn't care less. Doesn't do me any good to have that information. Zero. So why know it at all?
I want to know because I have a tremendous ego.
Save that.
I really don't think any of you can contemplate how large it is.
No, we've seen it.
Yeah,
we see it fairly often.
It out.
You've seen the tip of it. You know the majority of Titanic.
What are we talking about? Maybe save that too.
Bert has seen the tip of it. Nobody else has.
Hey, Charlie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You tell us, man. What does Jill do here? Does she just shut up and not say anything to this dude, or does she come clean?
Well, you know, I'm with you, Bert. I would have her. I wouldn't want to know. But listen, Jill, I think you're a little selfish. You want to tell this guy so that he doesn't come to your bar, but that's that guy's social setting. But you don't want him to come to the bar because you don't want to give up your social setting. So I think you're a little selfish in the situation here. I think I agree with the team here that you're the one who needs to take the hit and, you know, stop doing the behavior that is making you be attracted to him.
Yeah, and you've got options, but you sound like there's nothing I can do about this.
I don't trust her because I don't think that she wants to tell him for him to not come to the bar. That would be the honorable thing to do, to try to... No, the honorable thing to do, Jill, would just change your habits to not be around him so much and to alleviate the temptation and not increase the chemistry between you two.
But I can't not work, you know? How are you guys going to tell me not to work?
But he is unavailable, so why give him this information?
Like, yeah, don't concentrate on it. And yeah, you work. He's not your only client. You work the entire, you know, restaurant. So
I asked you that question before about how you envisioned the conversation going in your mind, because I thought I knew what you were going to say. And what I thought you were going to say is that you wanted him to be like, I'm in love with you too.
I'm tempted by you too. It's going to be hard, but we can do this.
Yeah, that.
I'm assuming dude doesn't have kids or he wouldn't be in a bar 3 times a week, right?
No.
Okay. Hey, Lisa, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, that's the I'm getting ready to tee off voice.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
This girl needs to keep her hands out of other people's cookie jars. I mean, this is crazy. He's a married man. She needs to let him be because she's not thinking about his wife's feelings. If it was me and I knew who she was, trust me, I would not like it. I would probably come and rip her freaking hair out.
But why would you do that?
Well, if someone told my husband they were in love with him, then they're putting themselves in a position they don't need to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a selfish thing to do. It's the wrong thing to do, is to tell him.
Hello.
Hey, Karen. Good morning.
Hey, this is Kristen.
Yeah, it is. Hey, hey Kristen, Karen.
Duh.
How's it going?
Good double K. How are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to call and say that I think if he's a married man, that she should leave him alone.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, you really don't have a lot to gain. You don't have anything to gain here. You said that you're not feeling the chemistry on his side. He's a married guy. So telling him doesn't do anything, any good at all, unless you have the small piece in you, like Jen is saying, that hopes he goes, oh, I love you too. I'm so glad you said, yeah. I mean, he's still not going to leave his wife for you.
There's no reason for you to tell him. And you just need to get over it.
I don't know.
What do you want us to say? Let's play a little game here called The Bert Show Gives Me Advice That I Want to Hear. So you called up. What's the advice you want us to hear this morning?
I don't know. I guess I wanted to say, yeah, it's very noble for you to tell him and ask him not to come to the restaurant, and that, if I was him, I would be totally okay with that.
All right, so you want us to use the word noble that in this case. Wendy, why don't you go ahead and give her that advice?
I think it would be, no, I can't say it. I really just tried. No, it's a bad idea, and you shouldn't be in the bar with social settings anyway with one-on-one conversations. Bring your friends in the bar. Talk to other people
when
you're
at the
bar. But she
works there. Like, you can't be one-on-one if you're getting somebody a drink. You can't not be one-on-one.
Hold on here. Mike wants to be on The Voice Disguiser with you. Go ahead, Mike. You're on Q100. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Good morning. I was actually in a little situation, the same thing she's in, similar to it, but I was in love with my wife's cousin.
Ooh.
And for like probably 15 years, I was in love. Now, you know, I had told her and everything, and
you told who?
I told my wife's cousin.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, she was like, "Why?" And you know, I told her because you know she was a nice person and everything, and and I was to the point if I heard her voice, you know, I would feel good. When I see her, you know, I had a tingling in my body. Even if she texted me, if I text her and she texts me back, it seemed like I heard her talking to me while I'm talking, you know, texting her and everything. And I felt happy. I felt real good around her. And then I finally realized I can't do that. You know, and, you know,
I
had to break off of it. But it was hard for me to break away from it. But you would be able to do it if you put your mind to it and put your mind to something else. You know, I know you're working into a, you know, you work in a restaurant and everything like that. But, you know, wait on other customers, you know, and forget about the guy. And maybe, you know, one day you find somebody else that's not married. And, you know, and that person might, you know, tingle you the same way this guy tingles you.
I think that the thing you need to do is look for another job. Like, to be honest, if it's this much of a compulsion and it's this much, you say you can't, like Melissa's suggestions didn't work for you because you're like, well, you're telling me not to work. I have to work. And I understand that part of being a bartender and being a good one is talking to your clients, relating to them, have great conversations with them because then they leave you better tips and that kind of thing. So if you feel like there's going to be no other way to break away from this guy and no way to ask him to leave the bar, then I think you need to look for another job and only work there as long as it takes for you to find another one and start over again, a new social circle, a new everything else.
There's like, not one person calling and saying, go ahead and tell him.
Don't tell him.
Start looking for another gig.
I don't think you want this to end. I don't think you want your feelings for him to end. I don't think you want this flirtation to end. And I'm just saying you're on a dangerous path because this is what affairs are about. It is a process and a decision after decision after decision. That's why it's so hurtful. All affairs can be avoided. All of them, because it takes this long for them to happen.
Let it go, Jill.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Okay. Be sure not to take our advice and continue on the path
that
you're on.
Yeah, don't destroy a marriage just because you're selfish.
Hey, Jill.
Yeah.
I think I'm in love with you.
Hey, Jeff. I think I'm in love with you.
That was really noble, you guys.
This is The Bird Show.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Bert Show.
Good morning, Sean. You're on Q100.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly, before I ask my question, to confess my lesbian crush on Melissa.
Well, thank you, honey. That makes my day. I don't feel too good today, so you just pick me up.
But I wanted to ask if you had ever gotten a chance to freeze your embryos.
That's a good question.
We got them right here in this rockstar freezer.
Well, actually, it's funny you bring that up. It costs a lot of money to freeze your eggs and freeze embryos. And so,
how much Katie, something like that costs? Curious.
I mean, just to get them out is about $15,000.
What?
To have them removed from your body?
Yeah.
Really?
No way.
And insurance does not cover it. So it was a couple years ago that Katie and I started.
You don't need a little blue pill.
Huh?
You don't need like the little blue pill, Viagra, because that is covered.
Right. Yes, Viagra's covered, but trying to have children is not. But thank you for pointing that out. So anyway, it was a couple years ago that Katie and I started talking about children and how and what our, you know, our options were. And one of the thoughts was that I am older than Katie and I will be 40 in March. And so one of the things was to go ahead and freeze my eggs because I'm a transplant recipient. In my first child at 40, the doctor's like, we would prefer you not to get pregnant. It's not that I couldn't. It's not that I couldn't carry a child, but it's just the risk factors are there. And so the doctor's like, we'd prefer you not to be the one to carry it. So Katie's not ready to carry a child now. We weren't necessarily ready to have a child now, but we started talking about freezing my eggs. And then we learned that freezing eggs is not as successful as freezing embryos. So having the sperm and the egg together frozen is a lot more successful. And so we did. We do have the sperm, and it is in a freezer. But my eggs are not, so it is. It is a
I think Jeff just gave that to her actually this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
It's in an old Diet Coke can covered in Saran wrap. Oh.
So it's basically about money. It honestly is about money. It's about Katie and I not having spare $15,000, you know, and it's us consistently raising money since we've talked about it in order to do it. So we're hoping to get it done here, hopefully in the next few months.
Where'd you get the swimmers?
Not from you, Jeff.
Not from you.
That's what he's really upset about. He doesn't really care whose they are. He just
I want to know, like, did you go to a
bank? To know why not they're him.
We initially went to a cryobank and did the whole search and got our families involved and my mother and Katie's mom. You know, we had them as part of the selection process and the cryobank kind of, you know, one day they had it and one day they didn't. So when I was ready to get that sperm, it was no longer available. And it was just such a weird process that we decided to go with somebody we know.
Okay, without, of course, we're not going to say who the person is, but I'm fascinated by the conversation that you had with this person initially. So did you call them up and say, look, there's something that we'd really like to talk to you? And then you did this over dinner. Did you go over to their house? How was it? How did you phrase it?
It is somebody that we know who is married and already has children. That was a decision that we made that we wanted to be somebody that already had children. Okay. We did not want this to be their first child biologically. And so it was a person whose response basically was it would be an honor to do so.
Really?
So we have involved him and his wife are a team. So it's not just he's not our donor. They are our donor. Mm-hmm. So we.
So when you call like this dinner to ask them, do you ask them to a family dinner? Do you take them to a restaurant? Is it out in public
out,
you ask?
We've had this happen a while ago. So I'm trying to figure out exactly how we did it.
Are you
it.
Careful not to serve mayonnaise or rice pudding?
What is wrong with you?
Is it a singing telegram?
That's exactly what we used. It had to be in person. It had to be at a dinner. We asked them, like I said, I just know that it was important for us to ask them as a couple and always have her involved. So we asked if they would. I think they already probably knew that we were thinking about freezing the embryos. So it wasn't a conversation where we said, okay, look what we're trying to do.
It wasn't out of the blue.
Because it's friends that are in our circle anyway. So it's not like it's somebody that we...
Who got to be the lucky one to get the sperm out? You or Katie Jo?
Anyway, so
who asked the question?
Did
you ask or did Katie Jo ask?
Oh, I asked.
You did.
Yeah. I will say that there is nothing funnier to watch than a man who has just given his sample and him walking back out into the lobby.
You were there? You were there at the...
We were all in the lobby.
In this lobby? It happened at Q100.
No way. But it is. There is something funny about that. I mean, nothing more
he had a little swagger.
Pleasing to a man.
No, it's probably more embarrassing, right?
No, a swagger.
Oh, he was swaggering about it.
Yes, because there's nothing to have three women in a lobby, his wife, myself, and Katie, waiting on him to come back out.
He's like,
and
hey.
He's like, I got my three women here. And he's like, you know what? And people other than my wife have asked me for my seed. So, I mean, I find that that's a huge ego booster for a man to be asked, you know, do you mind donating?
I never thought of the aspect that you would actually go there with him and sit in the lobby while he got biznass done.
Well, I mean,
I just figured he'd call you up the next day going, okay, I want you to know that I made the drop off. And
I think it was just important for us to all make this a collective effort. And it's such, because it's such a huge honor for us to have them involved. So it's, we're trying to all do it as a team. Not that, Jeff.
Can you take a picture of how it's labeled in your freezer?
It's not in my freezer.
Or wherever.
It is at the facility. So waiting on Katie and I to get money in order to be able to, you know, match it with my eggs. So we're working on it.
Here, Bird Show.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.